Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Let's say good morning to Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, who checks in with us here weekly. And social media has played a big part in these protests. And yep. I don't know how you've been monitoring all this, Scott. There's a lot to absorb, isn't there?
There really is. And, you know, for me, it's unique because, you know, my background's journalism. So before I was looking through this lens, I was covering stories like all the reporters out there are covering it now in much more, you know, traditional ways. And what I'm seeing is, you know, there's more than one viewpoint, and people believe what they want to believe. And you know, a lot of the protests are peaceful, and social media amplifies the violent ones. And before you know it, you know, you're relying on a computer algorithm telling you which type of thing you should be following. And people just assume that, you know, everyone is looting, and that's not really the case. It's a difficult minefield to really be able to navigate.
And the police monitor all this, and they try to stay up to date on these social media feeds too, don't they?
They do. Most, I think, if not all, police departments do, especially now. I mean, I don't know how the operations work specifically, but some departments have staffs dedicated to social media, just like you would have a staff dedicated to anything else. When I, you know, used to work big events, I worked, you know, in Chicago, I worked the NATO protest in 2012. And for big events, we used to call it a war room, where someone was actually in charge of feeding social media information to officers in the field. But, you know, just as my advice is always to be careful of what you consume, you know, what you're seeing is an unfiltered stream. So, you know, I push for accuracy all the time on social media. And that's never going to happen across the board. I know that. And like anything else, you take it with a grain of salt. You know, Jen was just talking about, you know, how do you know what's real and how do you know what's not? And there's so much misinformation out there. You know, I saw instances where people would say something like, there's a group of 300 people marching here. And it turned out that 300 people were not marching there. And there's two reasons why that kind of stuff gets posted. One is very, you know, normal. Someone reposted incorrect information. It got amplified and got lost in all of these posts. And, you know, by the time that domino falls, it's really difficult to fix. Or the second way is a lot, you know, is a worse way, which is, you know, they want to direct police resources away from an actual event. And that's something to think about because, you know, if police aren't paying attention to what's happening on social media and they're not using the rules that I talk about where you have to, you know, check things before you post it, it's very easy to send resources somewhere that you don't want to send them. So you have to make sure that you use all the tools at your disposal.
Just around here in the last couple of days, we've heard about a false report on social media about the Lincoln Park Zoo animals being released. That turned out to be completely false. Also, there have been many tweets or Facebook posts about looters heading to certain locations. Again, misinformation just passed along, and that's a big problem, isn't it?
It really, really is a big problem. And one of the things I would say, you know, what a great point about the Lincoln Park Zoo. You know, when you hear something on social media that is shocking, when you see something like that, I mean, the first thing you do is you go, oh, my God, the animals are released. You know, look that up. I mean, whether it's a Google search or whether it's a Twitter search, you know, just look it up and see what people are saying about it. And, you know, it's amazing to me how people are so quick. I mean, this has been like this for years, but especially now, people are so quick to hit that retweet button. They just don't take a second to think about the repercussions of hitting a retweet button. And, you know, if you're somebody that has 5 followers and your stuff is not getting out there, still not good, but still that's one thing. But when you have people with thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers just hitting something because they see zoo animals released, you know, that stuff goes viral really, really quickly. So absolutely.
Yeah, yesterday if you checked your Twitter feed as to what was trending, I think number one here in Chicago was the Lincoln Park Zoo.
And that's just it. And, you know, one of the crazy ways that I research this kind of stuff, and I used to say, I don't expect people to do what I do. And I really don't, because I do a lot more than the average person. But I mean, if you search for the very first post about the Lincoln Park Zoo thing happening, that's the most telling thing. Who released the information about the Lincoln Park Zoo? Was it somebody that you trust in Chicago? Was it somebody with a high, you know, degree of honesty and trustworthiness? Or was it some account that has no picture, has two followers and a weird name, and has a location in Russia? You know, when that happens, you know right away that what you have is something that's not real. And that can just blossom so quickly.
When I saw that Lincoln Park Zoo Twitter trend, I immediately Googled Lincoln Park Zoo. And when there was no news story about that, I figured that was incorrect information.
And that is a really, really, really good point. It's just the one thing to keep in mind. Google is not always real time. It's quick, but it's not always real time. So if you go into the search bar that's on Twitter or even on Facebook and you do the same search, sometimes you get a lot more information that way.
Also, there are reports here that looters use social media to coordinate businesses that they would hit. So this can be used to work against law enforcement easily, can't it?
It can definitely be used to work against them. And, you know, it really, like we said, it really depends on the tools that the police department has available to them. For anyone, police and otherwise, to trust something on social media without verifying it first is foolish. But, you know, usually when we're talking about it, it's a photo or it's a link. And these protests, you know, it's bigger than any one event in Minneapolis. It's a rallying call. And there are people out there who really want to spread false information. They really think that spreading false information is a punishment to law enforcement, when actually it's a punishment to everybody else. And law enforcement knows that, but they can't ignore these reports. If they see a report where it says that 300 people are marching, you know, it's up to someone to verify whether or not the police will turn resources to that too.
And how easy is it to do that?
Well, you know, it depends, and it's not specific to a certain department, but I mean, I would verify it using tools accessible to the police. And I mean, you know, I'm not an officer, but using that example of 300 people marching, you know, looking at street cameras from that location would easily show if there's a crowd of 300 people walking down the street, and checking social media for repeated posts. When one account posts something, you know, it's one account posting something. We've said that so many times. But when 20 accounts post the same thing, that's when I start to dig deeper. And, you know, I know misinformation is something that every law enforcement agency deals with, but, you know, they're much more likely to have to deal with it in a magnified way during events like this.
We're talking with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. So, Scott, what do we need to know about separating fact from fiction on social media?
You know, Bob, it is where all the best practices that you and I have talked about over the years come into play. You know, you just can't, these days especially, but you just can't look at the feed anymore and accept it as is. You have to look at trusted sources. You know, in Chicago, you have to look at the Tribune. You have to look at the Sun-Times. You have to look at Block Club Chicago. You have to look at the feeds for the mayor and the governor. I mean, there's a lot of tension these days with media, but it's the actual reporters who are out there who are reporting on this stuff. And, you know, I can give you a really great example. The other night when the bridges were being put up in Chicago and there was misinformation everywhere because they were trying to control the crowds, they said that every bridge was up and there was no way across the river. And that wasn't true. The LaSalle Street Bridge was open and people said the CTA was not running at all. It was running. It was limited at the time. It was before all these big, big closures. But it was running at the time and people said it wasn't. And when you believe something at face value without taking the time to make sure what you're reading and sharing is accurate, you make things worse for a lot of people. When you took a look at what that type of tweet was causing, what type of problem that was causing, people were confused. People didn't know how to get out of the city. And I'm not saying it's easy just to walk across one bridge. I mean, it was still a difficult time, but the information was out there and inaccurate information was spreading. So, you know, don't believe a user who just signed up for Twitter and has tweeted once about the state of the entire Chicago transportation network. It doesn't make sense. How does that person possibly know? You know, you go to the CTA feed, you try to find out what the latest is, go to the Metro feed. You know, to me, I've always said a few seconds is all it takes. It may take more than a few seconds, but those seconds can make all the difference for you and for somebody else that you're trying to help.
WGNRadio.com is pretty good, too. What other advice do you have, Scott?
Yes. Sorry, Bob. Most definitely. I would say if you want to keep up with what's happening, you know, the main unfiltered feed that is out there on any social media platform, on Facebook is different because it's mostly your friends. So, you know, on Twitter, stay away from the main feed. Start with trusted sources, you know, where you're looking at information, you know, newspapers, TV stations, radio stations, you know, everybody is quick to say that it's all fake news. And this whole fake news thing has gotten out of control. It's not fake news. You know, reporters are the ones who are being arrested and shot with rubber bullets, and they're doing the jobs that they're trusted to do. And honestly, they'll do anything, you know, to be out there to make sure that you know what's happening around you. I also, going back to what we were talking about before, I also check the feeds of police departments. Now, some don't update information in real time, but some do update public safety information. So if there's an update on the curfew, you know, those police departments will likely tell you what those updates are. And I know there's a lot of mistrust with police, and it can be controversial to suggest that. But I still highly recommend it because that's where you're going to get the most local and updated information.
You can't use the term fake news to describe anything you don't agree with. We got to stop.
Exactly.
We got to stop doing that. Last week we talked about bots and all the fake content that does run rampant on social media. So don't you have to sort of treat it like when you're looking for a restaurant review or a review of anything online? You can't just read one. You try to absorb, like, you know, dozens of them, and then you know you're going to get the truth if you don't just zero in on one of those, which could be fake, for a lack of a better term.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, people are still using social media for the way they're supposed to use it. You know, we're documenting history, and that's why social media exists, and that's why social media is such a great thing. It's a big story, you know, for this generation. But it's exactly like you said. It's what we said last week. You know, it's gotten harder and harder to know what's real and what's not. And, you know, there's plenty of people in this world, and they're in the U.S. and they're outside the U.S. and they want to stir up trouble and controversy using social media, and they're going to do that. But, you know, things move fast. It's very easy to hit a button and share your content and not give it a second thought. And I want to tell people that, you know, you really have to give it a second thought. You don't know it at the time, but what you share from your couch could really affect someone thousands of miles away who wants to find out, because it's so easy for misinformation to spread. It spreads exponentially, you know, depending on who starts to share it.
Scott Kleinberg, you're the best. Always enjoy talking to you, Scott. Thanks for the good information, as always.
Anytime, Bob. Take care of yourself.